Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you guys are having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is live and direct from sunny Southern California. Welcome in. Nick Saban played the card. Tell you what that card is in a second. Bucky Brooks is going to join us in 20 minutes. Of course, he's a former NFL player, scout, coach of Move the Sticks. We got a lot to get to. Brett McMurphy will join us next hour. We'll get you ready for college football. We'll talk about Fresno State tonight. I got my picks for you upcoming in the third hour of the show. Oof, we got a lot to get to. Ooh, a lot to get to. Let me start with this. So this weekend, the biggest game, I don't think it's San Francisco and the Packers. I think it's Tampa and the Rams. It's a prove-it game for Matt Stafford, right? Where, hey, dude, you haven't been able to compete in these games in the past. Now you got a coach, dudes around you, home stadium, no reason you can't compete. For Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, they come in, and Antonio Brown's on the COVID list, so we don't know what happens there. But for the most part, they've been great through 2 weeks. Let their foot off the gas a little bit in Atlanta, against Atlanta last week. Tom Brady's done a great job of taking the high road, right? Alex Guerrero came out critical of the treatment of Brady by Bill Belichick. Here was Brady when asked about those comments made by his dad and by his trainer.
You know, great respect and admiration for my time there. I've had great 20 great years there. I kind of spoke that the last 18 months. You know, it's a great time in my life, but, you know, really happy to be here. And I think we've done some great things in a short period of time. Everyone has, you know, protective feelings and emotions as friends and family members. And that's just part of being in sports. And you have a lot of people who, you know, because they're not out there, they want to protect. And it's a very caring, loving thing that a lot of people do. But, you know, from my standpoint, I had a great time.
I had a great time. Everything's good. Everybody's good. Here's Bill Belichick when asked about Alex Guerrero's criticism.
I did want to ask if you had any response to Alex Guerrero's remarks in the Boston Herald about his view of your handling of Tom Brady, if you had any response to those remarks.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I know there's a lot of interest for obvious reasons in next week's game, but we're focused on Saints here, and we'll on Monday we'll get to next week.
So that is a little bit of a tease to the Monday press conference, right? But the truth is that Belichick's handling of it, I think, paints a picture for what we're going to see and hear next week. Here's Albert Breer, right, from the MMQB, on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe on what he believes the Patriots and Brady are up to.
People on Brady's side of it figuring, well, if the Patriots are going to get their side of the story out there inevitably, then we might as well tell our side of the story as well.
Yeah, I don't see the Patriots doing that. I see the Patriots doing exactly what Bill Belichick did this week, exactly what Bill Belichick did last week, and what Bill Belichick's going to do the week before. Did the week before, and what he'll do the following week. We got any questions about the game? We're on to Tampa. They're a great team. They're well coached. Yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. I mean, even Brady has learned from it. Brady offered nothing. Nobody wants, like, what's the win there? And I thought Brady painted the picture of, hey, look, they're blinded a little bit by love. They're protected. You know, their claws come out. Look, I got that with my own kid. You know, when he plays on other teams, and he doesn't play as much or doesn't play as well, I try and balance up the, I don't want to do the blame thing. Well, the coach didn't know what he's doing and their offense sucked and his kid wasn't, like, no, but that's what you automatically default to. Why? Because you're blinded by love. But Bill Belichick ain't saying, they're not getting out their side of the story. Their side of the story is we won 6 Super Bowls. That's their side of the story. I don't see any other side of any other story. Let me ask you, Dan Beyer. Do you think there's some other side of the story that the Patriots are going to portray, or do you simply think the Patriots are going to be the Patriots?
I think the Patriots are going to be the Patriots.
Me too. We've been doing this. You and I have been doing this a long time, right? And the one thing that is that you can depend upon from Bill Belichick is nobody say nothing about nobody to nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The press got to do their job. We got to do our job. But saying something to the press does not help you do your job.
It's the Patriot way.
It's the Patriot way. And you know what? It works. It's not always fun. It's not always as glamorous as other things could be. But you know what it is? It's successful. It's time tested. And it's the way Bill's going to do what Bill's going to do. Like, here's the thing. We always do this thing. Well, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Like, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. I'm 45 years old. I learn new things all the time. Matter of fact, anybody else like this? I like learning a whole lot more than I did when I was a kid. Right? When you're a kid, like, I'll sit there and my son's got something. You know, for example, my son goes to a school where he's learning Hebrew. Right? I played in Israel. I lived in Israel. I've been there 7 times. I know some Israeli Hebrew expressions, but I can't speak Hebrew. But sitting down there and sitting with him and learning, like actually learning how to speak the language, how to form a sentence, fascinating to me. History, oh my God, love it. Love it. Got a daughter in AP Psych. I lay on the couch every time she comes over and just say, hey, listen, you clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I actually like learning. But the reason that some people don't learn when they get older is like, hey, man, I've been successful at this my whole life. I think that's really the part. Like, people want to know why Blockbuster didn't evolve where Netflix did evolve. Like, Blockbuster went to subscriptions. They went to sell in the mail, but they never got to the streaming and they never got to making their own shows. Why? Because Blockbuster was king. It's really hard to see your weaknesses when you keep being successful. Right. Think about it for a second, okay? We used to go to this mom and pop video store on the corner of Hughes and Chapman Avenue in Orange, seemingly 3 or 4 days a week. Like, we were, like, my dad didn't even use money sometimes. Like, if he didn't have money, they'd be like, you're good, Bob, no worry, because we were in there so much. And then Blockbuster opens down the street. And at first you're like, it's more money. Why do I need to do it? Then it had not just all the titles, but they had rows upon rows upon rows of Bill and Ted's Big Adventure. Like, they just have so much more supply. I'm willing to do it. And you got so many more days to rent it. Like, that was their whole thing. So they wiped out all the mom and pop video stores. They couldn't compete. And they were everywhere, a big chain. So it's hard when you're really successful to see the future and change coming. Like, look, if we could just get back to one of those places. I think Bill Belichick's like, look, this works, has worked, will work. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to apologize for what I've done. And trying to explain how it really went down, nobody actually wins out of that thing. There is no win in explaining, well, you know, what we really did with Tom Brady was we wanted to treat him like everybody else, because that's kind of like, look, we all know what the Patriot way is. It was really successful. Brady did it for 20 years. And then he was like, you know what? I'm out. And they said, okay. And last year they had a bad year and they still won 7 out of their 16 games with a quarterback who couldn't throw, with 8 opt-outs on defense. And now they're pretty good. The last thing successful people are doing is looking at the past that was successful and trying to pick apart the parts that weren't. When they signed the new TV deals and everybody concurred that the salary cap would spike. Now everybody's complaining? No thanks.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
My friends and I, we call people who speak about basketball but didn't play basketball civilians, right? They see things differently than how we see things. And I think football guys would probably tell you the same, right? And, you know, look, I played football up until high school. I've spent a ton of time around people when I was at ESPN or at CBS and now at Fox, talking to football people, making connections. I've done sideline, I've done play-by-play, but I didn't play football, so I understand that there's a superior level of knowledge from those who have played it, those who have been in the front office with it. That's why I have experts on. I have a well-formulated opinion, but a lot of those opinions I fire off to people who I respect and see what they think. And like, that's terrible. Do not say that ever aloud. Then, of course, I scream it aloud. No, I'm kidding. I don't say it aloud. But you got to be very cautious of playing the card, which is the I played you didn't card. I coached you didn't card. Nick Saban played the card a little bit differently. Take a listen to the card.
What has Jaleel Billingsley proven to you to see his role increased as the season's moved on?
Did any of you play sports? I mean, the coach is supposed to play the best players, right? And then it's up to the players to do what they're supposed to do so they get to play because they become one of the best players. So that's what he's doing now. But I don't know, maybe if you didn't play, maybe that's not something that you quite get.
Go to Aaron.
So to answer your question, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
He's done what he's supposed to do. And look, Saban gets testy with dudes all the time. He can because his teams have been so successful. But I don't think that was a I played, you didn't. It was a did you, any of you guys, you know what it was a statement of? I do this all the time. Do coaches play favorites? And the answer is hell yeah, they play favorites. They want guys who do what they're supposed to do. I got a lot of football is kind of chaos. You ever been in a football sideline? Kind of chaos, especially in college. 85 scholarships, but at home you got over 100 kids. You know, you have double numbers. So you're like, you know, get me seven. Seven could be a defense player, an offense player, could confuse you. It's a lot of this kind of controlled chaos. And the beauty to football as the ultimate team sport is you need all 11 dudes working together. Sometimes it's just as simple as you need to be exactly where you're supposed to be and do your job and stay out of the way and this play will work because of it. Sometimes it's obviously you're going to get the ball. But I didn't think that was so much of a I played, you didn't. It was more of a do coaches play favorites? Yes, they do. Their favorites are the guys that work the hardest, that are prepared, that play the best, and that are completely in line with what we want to do. So, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. Did any of you guys ever play in high school? Or play sports? It sounds like I played, you didn't, but it was more, come on, guys, you know what he's done. You guys cover us. Do I need to tell you? And the answer is probably do. They're just looking for a quote on a kid. Do we have anybody's birthday in January
7th? I don't know. I thought, like, was Elvis's around that time? Yeah, I thought maybe.
My boy Matt Holliday is also January 15th.
Well, me and Sade will be watching 3 football games on Sunday on our birthdays.
I like the correct pronunciation of,
of course.
Sade, which is, you know, he's born January 17th?
Who's that?
Two great boxers.
Muhammad Ali?
Yep.
Okay.
And Jake Paul.
Oh.
Betty White also. Jim Carrey. Al Capone, Ben Franklin, Dwayne Wade!
I knew Muhammad Ali was somewhere in the ballpark of ours, but I just didn't
Steve
know
Harvey.
What day. All right.
Steve Harvey.
Broderick, by the way, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey from what state?
Georgia?
West Virginia. West Virginia is an amazing place. Like, I have a buddy who's a very, very successful lawyer. I won't give away his background because he listens to the show and listens to the pod.
Jacob and Ronnie. No, I'm kidding.
It's not Jacob and Ronnie. Although, if you got a problem, call this guy. He'll take care of you. But he's from West Virginia. Saban's from West Virginia. You're Hodgie from West Virginia. It's like a little town. Yeah, from a trailer park in West Virginia, right? And it's really amazing. A guy with a speech impediment, one of the great speakers in the history of the United States, but that's the true thing. West Virginia is amazing with how many people. James Earl Jones, also January 7th. Trevor Bauer, not exactly positive connotations right now with Trevor Bauer. He's January 17th. And Michelle Obama, as well as Kid Rock, January 17th. Pretty crazy day.
Yeah, I only care about the 16ths. Me, Sade, Roddy Millsap, and Joe Flacco.
Roddy Millsap.
Ronnie Millsap.
Ronnie Millsap. Do you know who Ronnie Millsap is there, Ramos?
I do.
A blind country musician, right?
Yes.
I've actually seen him play. Obviously, yes, I know he didn't see me, but I've seen him play. He's an amazing musician. Amazing. I'm trying to think what I saw. I saw him play in Durant, Oklahoma. It's spelled like Kevin Durant. Durant, Oklahoma, at the Noodling Festival. Do you guys know what a noodling is?
No.
It's fishing only with your finger for catfish. You're at the bottom of these riverbeds.
Yeah, I've seen. Festival. Yeah.
Yeah. Never done it, but want to. If I ever do like a Doug Gottlieb reality show, we'll do that. With Ronnie Millsap.
Oh, that'd be great.
Right? That's what
we'll do. That'd be magnificent. Oh, man.
There's a lot wrong with this segment. When a train hits a vehicle, this is a train wreck, at a railway crossing, results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. If signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't pay for by NHTSA. All right, let's get to Bucky Brooks. He joins us. Move the Sticks is the pod. It's now on the NFL Network. It's outstanding. So is his analysis. Sam Darnold, now you've seen him. We've seen him win three games. Texans aren't great, but they did lose Christian McCaffrey midway through the second quarter, so it wasn't like just give the ball to Christian McCaffrey and get a win. What do you think of Darnold now that you've seen him play three games with the Panthers?
Look, man, I think he's in a better situation for him, and I think when you're around coaches that really want to elevate your game, they do a great job of putting you in situations where you're playing to your strength. And Sam Darnold right now is playing to his strengths as a player. The passing game is simple and decisive for him. He's playing with a ton of confidence. They're getting the ball out of his hands. And what we're seeing is when surrounded by a better supporting cast, not just on offense, but defensively, where he doesn't feel like he has to play hero ball, he's doing a really good job. And so he still needs to clean up some things. He can clean up the pocket awareness, taking care of the ball, not fumbling it when people are around. But I think so far so good for the matchup with Sam Darnold going to the Carolina Panthers.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's get to some of the other stuff of the week. Was everybody wrong to question Aaron Rodgers' offseason as for the reason for their poor start week one?
No, because he was rusty and they look out of sync. And for a player who we never really see out of kilter like that, yeah, I think everyone was right in being able to say maybe the offseason away, maybe doing all the things that he participated in the offseason while not being around his teammates, maybe that did kind of bleed into the season and the lack of chemistry and continuity. Because even, truth be told, they still didn't play great against the Detroit Lions. They got better as the game went on, but it wasn't the normal performance where we would see from the Packers, where they would take care of a team that they're supposed to win, dispatch them early, and would be in a rhythm. So I think people were right to kind of criticize him. He opened himself up to criticism when he kind of opted to take the approach that he took in the offseason. But I don't think it was out of pocket for people to say, hey, man, maybe that first one loss was tied to the lack of preparation that may have taken place with the quarterback and his teammates.
So now they take on the San Francisco 49ers, who haven't been challenged in 2 weeks. But the 49ers, last time these two teams matched up 2 years ago in San Francisco, dominated them. What do you think of this matchup?
You know, it's interesting because the Niners have dominated them. And when you go back and you look at the numbers, the Niners are averaging over 150 rush yards per game. When you look at the matchup between the two, they're averaging 10 more points and 50 more rush yards per game whenever they squared off the last three times. And so this is an issue where before we even think about Aaron Rodgers, we got to worry about Joe Barry and the defense of the Packers being able to slow down an offense that has given them problems in the past. And when I look at the problems that the Packers have had defensively this year, they got to tighten up, because if you can't stop the running game for the Niners, it is a long day for you, because with the play-action passes and all the compliments that come with that, they really get you off your game. And so this would be a huge test for Joe Barry and their defense to see how far they've come over the first three games.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Bucky Brooks is our guest. Tom Brady and Tampa Bay coming in to take on the Rams, but everyone's talking about Alex Guerrero, who his comments earlier the week were, hey, getting ready for next week when they take on the New England Patriots. You know, Bill Belichick just didn't evolve. He treated him the same way, no matter what his stature, no matter what his age. I don't actually view most of that as a negative, right? You don't want to be treated like a kid, but isn't that the Patriot way?
It is the Patriot way. That's the way the Patriots have always kind of operated and done business. So I don't really understand like how they expected it to evolve. And also remember this for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady in his eyes was always going to be the sixth round pick that came in. And so he was very hard on Brady, kind of bringing him up, teaching him how to play the position as he handed them the starting position. And as they continued to win, that was always a part of their deal. Now, the evolution, normally in those instances when you have a long-term relationship like that with the quarterback and the coach, they do evolve. You do have some leeway, and there are some things that might be granted. But the Patriot way is very firm. It's very hard line in terms of the stance and those things. And so I don't know what maybe special privileges Tom Brady wanted that he didn't get. But everything I know about the Patriot way, they're pretty firm in how they go about doing things.
No question about it. Okay, what is your level of buy-in to Mac Jones, having seen him now?
My level of buy-in is, in all of these situations, like what we have to do is we have to separate what we think about the player individually during our pre-draft analysis with where they end up and how they fit. Because fit matters more than anything else when we do these matchups. He goes to the perfect place for him. It is a great fit for Mac Jones in New England. And the reason why it's a great fit is because for the Patriots, they're able to do what they've been able to do for 20 years with Mac Jones, meaning that the way that they played the game with Tom Brady, they're able to do the same kinds of stuff with Mac Jones. They don't give him the full cupboard as they had with Tom Brady, but in terms of stylistically, it's the same. And so, you know, coaches are creatures of habit. They're very comfortable with the style of play that Mac Jones has. That's it. He has been good in terms of he hasn't turned the ball over. He's done a great job of managing it. But when you really look at it, they haven't asked him to play outside of his comfort zone. And most players in any sport, if you allow them to play within their comfort zone, they can be pretty good players. And that's what the Patriots have done with Mac Jones.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so let me ask you this, as Bucky Brooks joins us. Bucky, you watch Zach Wilson struggle. Is that his fault, or is it because he doesn't have anybody around him or blocking for him?
It's a combination. I mean, some of it is his fault. Like, some of it is on him in terms of taking care of the ball. Like, the same things that we tend to fall in love with about players are the same things that can also be the Achilles heel. So when you watch Zach Wilson play at BYU, we celebrated his ability to make these impromptu, improvisational plays that were wild plays and all that. Well, those wild plays don't always wind up in your favor when you get to the National Football League. And so what we're seeing is a young guy who's understanding that the game is different, the speed of the defense and the defenders that you're going against are different, and he's been tricked by the complex coverage at times. The Patriots gave him a ton of things that they threw at him, pressures, simulated pressures, all those things. Because remember, that same Patriots team made Sam Darnold admit to seeing ghosts. And so it can be very problematic when you're dealing with a defense that has some complexity to it. So I wouldn't necessarily panic about Zach Wilson, but I would say this. They need better game planning where they don't put all of it on him, and he's going to need better players around him to be the guy that many expect him to be.
The Ravens won with an epic comeback, helped by Kansas City's errors, but I thought it was a big thing for the Ravens that they never got out of what their offense is, that they didn't try and make Lamar do something he's not as comfortable doing, and they just played their style. Did you notice the same change, or is that something they've been doing even when they get behind?
No, I thought it was a great change. And I think that's the one thing that has really hurt them in the playoffs. Everyone has talked about Lamar Jackson's woes in the playoffs, but I felt like in the playoffs, the game got too big for the coaches, meaning that in playoff games where you have these wild swings of emotion, it's hard to stick to the script and stick to the game plan. When you're down, you begin to throw the ball all over the yard and you get out of character. What I like the most about the Baltimore Ravens is they didn't get out of character on Monday night. They did a great job of sticking with the game plan. Sunday night, running the ball, doing the things that they do. And they have to do that. Their style is their style. And whether we on the outside criticize it or we don't like it because it's a bit unorthodox or non-traditional, they have to play a certain way based on the players that they have and the quarterback that they have. So I applaud Greg Roman and John Harbaugh for sticking to the script and playing the way they need to play, because they won a ton of games playing that way. 31-8, Lamar Jackson as a starter. I don't think you necessarily have to change. You might have to tweak, but you don't have to change.
What's your level of belief in the Raiders?
They're playing much better. Gus Bradley's been the biggest addition to the team because what Gus Bradley has done, he has joined Rod Marinelli, and they've made things very, very simple for the defense. It's about effort. It's about not letting the ball fly over your head, and it's about making sure that you do the small thing really, really well. And they've been doing that. They've done a great job of getting Rush, Max Crosby, Yannick Ngakoue, and because they're able to get pressure without necessarily having the blitz, they now can sit back in coverage. And as they gain more confidence in this Gus Bradley defense, that doesn't blitz much. I want to say they've only called 6 blitzes total on the season. So this is lining up and playing. And sometimes when you have good athletes, the best thing you can do is just let it be simple and let them play and let their natural talent shine. That's what Gus Bradley's done with the Raiders defense. That's why they're for real.
Okay, what about Pittsburgh? How big are their problems?
It's big because I worry about the quarterback. As you know, when you get older, you need more help and more support. And what I worry about now with Ben Roethlisberger is we're seeing the gradual breakdown of the body, right? We saw the elbow a couple of years ago. Now we talk about a torn pec. He already couldn't push the ball down the field. And even though it's not on his throwing side, it still impacts and affects your ability to push it. And finally, when you're an older player, the last thing you want to do, this is across the board, no one wants to get hit when you get older. Okay, so he's getting rid of the ball quicker before these long patterns can fully develop. And what it does, it makes you play half-court basketball. It's just hard to generate a lot of scores when you don't step outside and push the ball down the field. So I worry about the Steelers. If they can't get their defense playing at an A level, it's going to be hard for them to win a ton of games because the offense is just playing dink-and-dunk football.
Tua's hurt, so he's got broken rib. He'll be out for a while. But I don't know. We were supposed to see something more this year. People are blaming the offensive line. That's fair. It just feels like he's just not seeing the blitz, getting rid of the football. And he gets hurt because he gets hit. He gets hit because he's just not elusive. Like, am I missing something on Tua?
No, you're not missing anything. Like, you got to call a spade a spade. And I think that's what's difficult for a lot of us in the business. Like, it's difficult to have high expectations from someone as a draft pick based on what you saw. It's another thing, though, when you finally see him play in the league, you got to be honest. And what I would say, the disappointing part on Tua, there's no wow factor to when you watch him play and you watch some of the other young quarterbacks. When you watch a Pat Mahomes or when you watch Lamar or when you see Justin Herbert play, like, you don't get that same sense. And no one expected him to be the super athlete. But if you don't have that athleticism as a superpower, you have to be great in the other areas of throwing. Touch, timing, anticipation, arm talent, and those things. And right now, because you don't necessarily see it and he's always been hurt, you do begin to question, is he ever going to be what we thought he was? And remember, this is a guy that everyone was like, hey, tank for Tua. It has turned out differently than many of us expected based on how he's played through this point of his career.
No question about it. Bucky Brooks joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let me ask you here. This one to me is super, super interesting. I look at Dak and the Cowboys, and they won, and they have a lot of talent, but they didn't score a touchdown after the first quarter, and there just seems to be something missing. What's missing with the Cowboys?
I think we're used to seeing a team that has more sizzle to the way that they play. And I think what the Dallas Cowboys have done is they've discovered that their identity is more of a workman-like blue-collar team, right? So it'd be like watching the Lakers in basketball kind of play a half-court basketball and be a 90-point-per-game squad. We're not used to seeing the Cowboys kind of play this grind-it-out style based on the weapons that they have on offense, but it's really the best way for them to play because when you want to protect your defense, you got to run the football. You have to do some things where you kind of own time of possession, shrink the number of total plays in the game, and that's what they've been able to do, and that works for them. Now, the trick will be, can Kellen Moore stick to that when you're an offensive coordinator with head coach aspirations? Because you typically don't get jobs when you're playing this style. So can you work against your own interests to do what's best for the team, which is play the style that they're playing when you got Zeke and Tony Pollard and everybody just kind of sharing the ball and being very deliberate in how they move the ball down the field?
Bucky, great stuff. Have a great weekend. Look forward to the next pod. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Talk to you soon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's get to what the Fox
and said. Now.
Every day at this time of the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, we play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio or Fox TV show on Fox Sports One. Here's Nick Wright, what he said about the matchup between the Packers and the Niners.
I think America's going to learn a lot more about the Niners, that the Niners are legitimate Super Bowl contenders, that the Niners are much closer to what they were in 2019 when, by the way, they beat the Packers twice, 37-8 and 37-20, than they were who they were in 2020 when a injury-riddled Niners team got beat up by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I have major, major concerns about this game from a Green Bay perspective, and I don't think I'm the only one. When I say I'm not the only one who's concerned, I think Aaron Rodgers is a little concerned. A little Easter egg in his interview with Pat McAfee, if you remember. He said, listen, we have a really tough schedule this year. We're going to have ups and downs. And he was talking about the media overreacting is how we read it. I think he was also kind of talking about this game. Like, I know we very well likely might lose this week. And I don't want to deal with all the nonsense I dealt with after week one. Now, the schedule softens up in the short term right after this week. But I think Aaron's concerned about this game. If I'm a Packer fan, I'd be concerned about this game. And I think this is a loss for Green Bay. And people start looking at the Niners as one of the top two teams in the NFC.
I guess here's my question. And you guys can chime in, Byer. Like, don't people already look at the Niners that way? I mean, when the Niners were healthy 2 years ago, they led in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, right? Like, I guess, maybe I'm the only one. And a lot of it starts up front defensively. I mean, look, if Nick Bosa is healthy and right, that guy is as good as any player in football. Obviously, they've been through a lot in terms of numbers at running back, but we've seen Kyle Shanahan figure out a way to run the football no matter who's back there. Maybe it's because of the Garoppolo thing and having his replacement already ready, but I kind of viewed them as a Super Bowl contender already.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
That's one of those. It's like walking in and going like, I'm telling you, after this weekend, people are going to think that the Rams have a chance to win the Super Bowl, huh? Like, yeah, we...
Yes.
We kind of thought that one.
I think you felt that way. I felt that way. I think many others have felt that way. In fact, Doug, I think actually you could make an argument because of all of the injuries the 49ers have suffered at the running back position at the start of this season that maybe their chances would be a little less. They're not going to have Jamichael Hasty. Elijah Mitchell is doubtful for the game against Green Bay. It's likely going to be Trey Sermon's game. He was inactive in week one. Yeah, so there's – yeah, I think everybody kind of thought that the 49ers were a contender.
I kind of tend to agree with you. Now, do I think that's the way the game is going to go? Yeah, I think this is a bad matchup. Right? I think it's a bad matchup, and I don't – I'm not taking away from Nick, but Nick was one of those. I think part of it is he's in New York City, right? And he's a Kansas City guy by nature. He used to work in Houston. Those are his points of reference. Whereas I think in more of the global view, most of us feel like if they're healthy, they're right there with anybody. And I do think that it's a bad matchup for the Packers. Let's get to what Colin Cowherd had to say and what he's hearing from Team Brady this week.
I don't know this to be true, but it's my guess. Tom Brady now has a net worth, along with his wife, of almost $700 to $800 million. When you get to be that big, LeBron's in that category, there's a handful of Americans, men and women who are, you get into protection mode. Even when you get enough to retire, your stockbroker says you don't need home runs, just hit doubles, right? Tom now doesn't need a lot of home runs. He really doesn't need any doubles. But it's protection mode for the TB12 brand, his legacy. Bill Belichick, by the way, doesn't need any more Super Bowls either. Does not need to win another playoff game or a division. But he is the greatest football coach ever, and losing season, losing season, losing season, losing season without Tom does him no good. I think what you're seeing now, and we've seen three major books in the last 18 months. I've read two. They're all excellent. You know, as you read the books, you can kind of tell what side's talking, what side's feeding, what side's giving, what side's taking. And this is the game, of course. You know this. It's the game behind the game.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with how much his net worth is. I don't think it has to do with anything other than Alex Guerrero has a thing for the Patriots because they let him in their facilities and then they ushered him out of the facilities. And I'm pretty sure now that we can understand why. Is that what do you think Bill Belichick's message to Alex Guerrero was when they parted company, when they said, hey, we can't have you on grounds anymore? It was very, very likely we got to treat Tom just like we treat anybody else. And having Tom's own personal trainer and the own personal trainer open up shop, I mean, look, it devalues our own strength coaches, our own medical staff, and it says that Tom's way and how Tom does it is different and better than everybody else. And that's just not how we do it here. That's what it feels like from Guerrero. The dad, he's a dad. He's a dad. Find me the realistic dad out there. That's what I want to find. Now, there are dads that'll say, my son's he's terrible. Nah, he's kind of good. Nah, he's terrible. But generally, dads are your biggest fan, right? Because if you succeed, somehow the gene pool worked, or their coaching helped, or their push, their whatever, all that worked. I think that most dads, when they get complimented on their kids, it's not an ego thing. It's more of a, hey, somebody said thank you sort of thing. I don't think it's ego, but there is no bigger fan of any player than their parents. They just shouldn't be, because they've seen them. They know what they go through. That's what the Fox said.
What does the Fox say?
All right, we got big college football games this weekend, including the Irish roll into Chicago, huge Notre Dame town, taking on Wisconsin, who's pretty big in Chicago, and Madison's 2.5 hours away. It's a big one. We'll cover all the big college football games upcoming next in the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.